Amen. Thank you, Matt. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 6, and as you open up your Bibles or your phones or whatever you have to Nehemiah chapter 6, I want to just share with you how much I appreciate you. You guys really minister to me. Some of you encourage me on a regular basis. Hopefully many of you pray for me on a regular basis. But one of the ways that you guys are a blessing to me is when I usually sit down for a couple of songs, and I'm praying the words, and I kind of go back and forth between worshiping the Lord and praying some of the words of the songs. But what is so cool is I hear all of you worshiping Him behind me, and so it gets me excited to get up here every Sunday, because I hear you worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right behind me, and that's just so cool, and I want to thank you for that. I went to the doctor not too long ago, and the doctor said, "Irvin, what do you do for fun?" And I went, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, most people that do what you do don't do near enough for fun, because they're so busy taking care of other people. You've got to start doing stuff for fun." And so the other day I was at home and I was thinking about it, and we have two new kittens, and a guy told me that the best way to teach a kitten from climbing up in your truck, which usually every now and then doesn't end well, is to just take a squirt gun and squirt him with water. And he'll learn, I don't want to climb up in that truck because that dude's going to squirt me with water if I climb up in that truck. So I said, okay, that's cool. I got a water gun, and the water gun sits by the kitchen. Why are y'all laughing? The water gun sits by the kitchen sink. And so I'm standing over there, Andrea's relaxing on the couch watching TV, and I'm thinking, I need to have fun. How can I start having fun? What can I do for fun? So I picked up the water gun, and I started launching streams of water through the air over onto Andrea on the couch. And then I had a little couch to clean up after it was over, and then I thought the whole thing was over, and the next thing I know, I'm getting hit with water streams. I don't know what it is at first, and then I notice I'm getting wet. And so that's a good way to have fun. Get a water gun. Shoot each other with your water pistol. We had a blast that night. I don't think that's really what the doctor was looking for, but now we're going to talk about Satan attacking spiritual leaders, and this is part two. Part one, by the way, if you missed it and you want to listen to it, just get on our website and you can go back and listen to it. But last week we talked about the fact that leaders deal with a lot of pressure, period. I don't care what form of leadership you're in. If you're in leadership, you deal with a lot of pressure. But spiritual leaders like Nehemiah deal with non-stop spiritual pressure from Satan himself. I'm talking about leaders that are living for God and leaders that are intent on building the kingdom of God. They deal with nonstop spiritual pressure from the devil himself. Now, if you're just living for this world and what this world can offer, then you know what? Satan's fine with that program. He's got no issue with you. And more than likely, he's going to leave you alone. But start living for God. Start leading other people to Christ. And the enemy will go to work. He'll go to work to stop you. However, you don't have to have fear of that if you're walking with God. In fact, if you fear the Lord, you don't need to fear anything else. And so we see Satan in this second part of, well, really all of chapter 6, he's poured it on Nehemiah through his pawns, Sanballat, Tobiah, who's on the inside, and then through marriage, he married in to the Jews. So he's on the inside, underground, working against Nehemiah, and then Geshem the Arab. And we see all this in Nehemiah chapter 6, and all three of these men, they have a lot to lose if this wall is completed, because these men have a lot of power in Jerusalem. And if it were to once again be occupied by the Jews, it could really erode their chances of prosperity and making a lot of money off the people that live in Jerusalem. And therefore, they threw everything they could at the Jewish people. We've seen it over and over through Ezra and Nehemiah. They threw everything they could at the Jewish people to discourage them, to keep them from building the temple, to keep them from building the wall. And when it wasn't enough, they went after their leader, Nehemiah. And so in chapter 6, we see Nehemiah, we talked about this last week, using fear, mental confusion, contradictions of feelings, and panic to attempt to destroy Nehemiah's faith and paralyze the work of God. Which is ironic to me because that's exactly what Hitler used back in his day. That was his warfare back in his day. And so spiritual leaders, and this is important to understand, they're just not leaders in the church. Spiritual leaders are also those who are trying to impact their families. They're trying to impact their friends, their places of employment, their companies, their communities, and their churches with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Nehemiah believed, and you don't want to miss this, Nehemiah believed something that's critical when dealing with the enemy. Every believer must understand this truth for victory. Every believer must understand this truth for victory. The Bible says in 1 John 4:4, you are from God and have overcome them, because greater is he, speaking of Jesus Christ, who is in you, than he, Satan, who is in the world. Okay? And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, and listen to this closely, and without faith in God and who he claims to be in the scripture, not necessarily what your friends think or what the media says, but without faith in the God and who the God of the Bible and who he claims to be in scripture, the Bible says it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He must believe that he is who he says he is in the scriptures, and he must believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, those who love him, those who seek to live for him, those who seek to walk in obedience to him, those who seek to live for his glory instead of their own. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 32:7, be strong and courageous, do not fear or be dismayed because of the king of Assyria. This is back when the king of Assyria was attacking the Jews. Because of all the hordes, in other words, his vast army, this enormous amount of people that is with him. For the one who is with us is greater than the one with him. Therefore, Nehemiah prayed and let God deal with the enemy. Every time you turn around in the book of Nehemiah, you see Nehemiah, no matter who's opposing him or what the conditions are, he stops, he prays, he goes back to work, he goes back to focusing on what God had him focusing on, and he lets God deal with the enemy. Look at Nehemiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 10 this morning. When I entered the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, who was confined at home, he said, here we go again, let us meet together. Let us meet together, but this time he says, in the house of God, within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple behind us, for they, your enemies, are coming to kill you. And they're coming to kill you at night. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody told me that, I mean, I'd be paying attention at that point in my life. Somebody's coming to kill me? I mean, I know there's people that don't like me, but now somebody's coming to kill me. But Nehemiah said, should I flee? Or no, should a man like me flee? Should a man like me who fears the Lord flee from these other men? And could one such as I, who walks in obedience to the Lord, actually go into the temple and save his own life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that surely God had not sent him, but he uttered his prophecy against me because Tobiah Sanballat had hired him. And he was hired for this reason. Listen to this. This is gigantic. That I might become frightened and act accordingly and sin. You might want to circle that in your notes or highlight it in your notes. That I might become frightened and act accordingly and sin. Nehemiah knew, if I let these people scare me and I become frightened and I begin to act according to my fears, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to sin against the Lord my God. And I will not do it. It says that they hired this person so that they may come up with this evil report in order that they may reproach me. And Nehemiah's response, here it is again, he prays, remember, oh my God, Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these works of theirs, and also Nodiah the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me. So the wall was completed on the 25th of the month of Elul in 52 days. Listen to this. When all of our enemies heard about it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence. For they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. That's our purpose at GBF. Amen? For people to recognize that what's going on here in this church and what takes place in this church is accomplished for the glory of God and with the help of our God. Also in those days, many letters went from the nobles of Judah to Tobiah, and Tobiah's letters came to them. In other words, Tobiah is at work on the inside. He's underground among the Jewish leaders, and he's even making deals with the nobles of Judah. For many in Judah were bound by oath to him because he was a son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son Johanan, who had married the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Moreover, they were speaking about his good deeds. Speaking of Tobiah's good deeds, Nehemiah says, in my presence, telling me what a great dude this guy is, this Tobiah guy. And then Tobiah was sent letters to frighten me. Oh, well, let me go back. They were speaking about his good deeds in my presence and reporting my words to him. And then Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. Now, again, as you know, up to this point, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem had opposed everything the Jews had done. And now that their offering to meet Nehemiah halfway for some kind of compromise has been turned down, and now that their slander via this open letter Facebook had failed to manipulate Nehemiah, they turned to threats. And so Sanballat and Tobiah hire this false prophet named Shemaiah to intimidate Nehemiah with threats. And Shemaiah claimed that he had this prophecy that Nehemiah's life was in danger, and he tried to convince Nehemiah to join him in the temple, and this is important, and you'll see why in a minute, where they could hide together behind closed doors. Look back at Nehemiah 6:10. When I entered the house of Shemaiah, he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you, and they are coming to kill you at night. And Nehemiah discerned. God gave him spiritual discernment, and he discerned, you know what, this dude was hired for this reason, that I might become frightened and act according to my fear and sin against my God, so that they may have an evil report in order that they could reproach me. But you have to love Nehemiah's response in verse 11. Should a man like me, Should a man like me, chosen by God to lead these people to accomplish his will, should a man like me flee? Should a man like me run from trouble? Should a man like me run from these people? And could one such as I, that has followed the Lord all this time, actually go into the temple, which is unlawful, to save his own life? I will not go in. And as you can see, the man's threat didn't even faze Nehemiah. It would have fazed me, I'll be honest with you. But Nehemiah knew. He knew this dude was a false prophet because, listen to this, don't miss this. His word that he spoke to Nehemiah did not coincide with the word of God. That's how he knew the man was a false prophet. The Lord gave Nehemiah immediate spiritual discernment and reminded him of the law of Moses concerning who could and could not enter the temple. And the test of any message, even from those who sound super spiritual, is always, what does the scripture say? Amen? Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For what does the scripture say? And the Bible says in 1 John 4, 1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And the Bible says in Isaiah 8, 20, To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. They have no light. They have no truth. Put another way, people who don't speak according to God's word have no light in them. Even though they might sound super spiritual to you and even claim to be one of God's servants, they're not following the Lord if what they're speaking does not coincide with God's word. Number one in your notes this morning, and I stole this from Tony Evans' commentary, so I put his name there. Religious terminology does not guarantee legitimacy. Amen? Religious terminology does not guarantee legitimacy. Nehemiah refused to go into the temple because it was forbidden in the scriptures. You can read about that in Numbers chapter 18. For a man who was not a priest to go beyond the altar of burnt offering into the temple. And it was all a plan to ruin Nehemiah's reputation with the people, which leads us to point number two this morning. Number two, spiritual leaders, and I should have put three blanks in there, get the wisdom and the strength and the discernment they need. They get the wisdom, the strength, and the discernment they need to face their fears and their foes because they lead a life, or they live a life of prayer, and they abide in the Word of God. They remain in the Word of God. And Nehemiah truly believed that the God he trusted was far greater than any threat any enemy could pose, even if it's Satan himself. And Nehemiah was also wise enough to know when he was being manipulated. He knew. This dude may sound spiritual and he may sound like he's on my team, but this dude's manipulating me. God gave him amazing understanding and insight. And he understood something that every believer needs to understand. And that is, you might want to write this in your notes. I probably should have put it in there. You never disobey God's word to protect yourself. Verse 13. You never disobey. If I had a dime for every time I disobeyed God's word to protect myself in my lifetime, I'd be a rich young man. But you never disobey God's word to protect yourself. When you disobey God's word to protect yourself, you just took yourself out from under God's covering. You just took yourself out from under God's protection and said, I'm going to handle this deal on my own. I'll show that dude. He'll never talk to me that way again. He'll never do that to me again. You never disobey God's word to protect yourself. How did Nehemiah have all this wisdom and courage? Because behind all these little short prayers we see him pray, and behind all the wisdom and courage we see him display, is a life marked by prayer, is a life marked by abiding and remaining in God's word. Look at verse 14. Nehemiah prays, "Remember, O my God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these works of theirs, and also Nodiah the prophetess and the rest of the prophets who were trying to frighten me." Now this is crazy, because not only is he dealing with Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, not only are those three guys out to get Nehemiah, but they've also now started a conspiracy among the prophets of Judah who are supposed to be with Nehemiah, who are supposed to be encouraging Nehemiah, who are supposed to be supporting Nehemiah, who are supposed to be praying for Nehemiah. And now Nehemiah is way outnumbered. And by the way, this is when pressure can really mount in any person's life. When a person's outnumbered, pressure can mount in any leader's life when this begins to happen. And this leads us to point number three. Number one, spiritual leaders must recognize that religious terminology does not guarantee legitimacy. Number two, spiritual leaders get the wisdom and strength and discernment they need to face their fears and their foes because they lead a life of prayer and they abide in the work of God. Let me ask you a question this morning. You want to be a leader in your home? You have to lead a life of prayer, and you must abide in the Word of God on a daily basis. If you want to have that kind of courage, that kind of strength, that kind of wisdom, and that kind of discernment in your home, you need to abide in the Word of God on a daily basis. And you need to learn to walk in prayer, to live your life in prayer. God, show me what you're doing as I'm walking down the sidewalk right now in Hyco. Is there someone that you're bringing into my path this morning? Lord, you've got permission to mess up my schedule today. If there's someone that I need to love on, someone I need to help, someone I need to minister to, I give you permission. You are the Lord of this day. You created it. You created me. So may it bring you glory. And then you watch for where God's working, and you join him in what he's doing. And you remember Hebrews 11:6 that says the Lord rewards those who seek him. And number three, spiritual leaders must learn to face their fears. People come to me all the time, and I get it. I've got fears, and so do you. There's not a one of us in here that doesn't have fears. Now, our fears are different. What I fear, you're like, really? Why do you fear that, Chris? But I don't deal with some of the fears that you have. Every human being has fears. The problem is when our fears overtake our faith, and then we act according to our fears. That always gets us off track. And so every leader, whether you're a leader in your home, your work, your community, your school, with your friends, with your family, wherever it is, must learn to face their fears and their foes if they're going to be successful in building God's kingdom and leading God's people. And if you're at work and the Lord is using you and the Lord is living through you, you're going to have fears and you're going to have foes because Satan's coming after you. But the one thing that you've got to remember, no matter what comes your way, is greater is he, Jesus Christ, who is in me, than he who lives in this messed up world. And at the end of the day, I have victory because Jesus Christ is living his life through me. I don't need to fear the devil. I ain't worried about that he's behind every bush or any of that kind of mess. I don't need to fear the end times. I need to be walking with God so I'm ready for them when they come. But I don't need to be walking around frightened of what's going to happen one day and the end times one day, because greater is Jesus Christ that lives in me than he who's messing around in this world. And when you keep that in your mind and you keep your focus on that, you will begin to not only face your fears. A lot of us are held back by all kinds of little fears. You'll not only begin to face your fears and your foes, But you'll get excited about facing your fears. I don't know that anybody ever gets excited about facing a foe. That seems kind of weird to me, but I do get excited about facing my fears. And I walk in prayer, Lord, help me to face my fears. Help me to face my fears. Show me how to face my fears. And Lord, show me how to love my foes. Show me how to show them Jesus Christ, love them, and do good to them. You know, one verse every believer needs to memorize is Romans 12:21 that says, do not be overcome. What does it say? Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. There's only one way to not be overcome with evil, and that's to do good, the Bible says. And there's only one way you're ever going to overcome evil, and that is to do good, the Bible says. And so leaders must learn a very, very important lesson. And I teach this in marriage counseling all the time. Even opposition can mature them and make them stronger as they practice relying on the Lord. But there must be the determination to get better and not bitter on the part of godly leaders. Every opposition can lead to greater intimacy in a relationship. It can lead to maturity, and it can make the person stronger as they practice relying on the Lord. But there must be the determination to get better and not get bitter. Again, every spiritual leader must learn two critical passages. People that I talk to that are great spiritual leaders, they know these two passages. Psalm 37 in your notes, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do what? Do good. That's how you know you're trusting in God, amen? When you're not returning evil for evil, you know you're trusting in the Lord because you're doing good, even though maybe good hadn't been done to you. And then dwell in the land. Don't run off. Don't run away and hide. Dwell in the land and cultivate your faithfulness. Grow in faithfulness to God. And delight yourself in the Lord, the Bible says, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday sun. And then rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, that's hard words right there, right? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Here it is again. Do not fret. I think he says it at least three times. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of a man who carries out wicked schemes, and then cease from anger and forsake wrath. And do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. And then Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not worry about anything. Instead, just like Nehemiah, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank Him for all He's done. We've seen that over and over in the book of Nehemiah. Listen to verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you and I can understand. His peace then will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Leaders must learn that every obstacle is an opportunity. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it's not painful. Doesn't mean it's not brutal sometimes. But if we trust God, every obstacle is an opportunity for greater intimacy with the Almighty. Dr. Evans says in his commentary, you'll never arrive at the completion of God's plan for your life without facing your own Sanballats, Tobias, and Geshems. Even the nobles of Judah cooperated with Tobiah. He was writing them letters, and they were writing him back, all in an attempt to conspire against Nehemiah, verses 17 through 19. And they were all trying to trap him, and he knew it. They were all trying to trap him. They were all trying to frighten him. In fact, the nobles and the prophets plotted, the nobles and the prophets in Judah plotted against God's leader because they were, listen to this very closely, too quick to listen to false reports, and they were persuaded by the enemy's lies. And without even realizing, they had become traitors to their own people by walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1:1. Put another way, Chris Irvin paraphrase, be very careful who you listen to. Be very careful who you listen to. But Nehemiah ignored the letters, he ignored the threats, he ignored the slander, and he kept himself from compromising the word of God. And he entrusted his reputation to God, and he waited patiently for the Lord to act. And in the meantime, listen to what he did. He stayed put, he stayed focused on and stayed committed to remaining faithful to God's plan. Nehemiah understood the testimony of God. Listen to this. A lot of people don't understand this. Nehemiah understood the testimony of God is always greater than the testimony of man. The testimony of God is always greater than the testimony of man. So be very careful who you listen to, that you don't end up following man and end up on the wrong team, on the wrong side of the field. Always follow the testimony of God and always go back to God's word and say, you know what? Am I allowing my fears to drive my actions and then take me into sin? And the Lord blessed Nehemiah's faithfulness. Despite all the opposition, and the wall was finished in just 52 days, which historians say is crazy. It's outrageous that this man could build this wall around Jerusalem in just 52 days. Look back at verses 15 through 16. So the wall was completed on the 25th of the month of Elul. In 52 days, and I love 16. And when all of our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence. For they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Man, that's my prayer for GBF. Listen, religion is man doing stuff for God. Relationship is what God wants to do through you, because you are intimately connected to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest of all the commandments. This is the number one purpose of your life, to learn to love the Lord your God. And that right there is what a relationship is about. It's about love. And Jesus said, learn to love the Lord your God. That's the number one purpose for your life. And so the relationship is when God abides in you and works through you, not when you just do stuff for God to try to please God or be okay with God. That's religion. Bottom line in closing this morning, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Man, if we could only get that one figured out, amen? If Chris Irvin could only get that one, amen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. And do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. How do you know you fear the Lord? You turn away from evil. Whoever said that, you're exactly right. That's how you know you truly fear the Lord. You turn away from evil. Nehemiah lived a life as described in the Scriptures. No wonder God continued to bless him. No wonder God, against all odds, with everybody ganging up on him, even his own people, the people that should have been blessing him and encouraging him and supporting him and praying for him. And he accomplished the one thing that we want to accomplish at GBF for other people, other people, especially those who don't know Christ, to see the hand of God at work so they too will put their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's go. Are you with me? Let's get busy living a life of prayer. Let's get busy abiding in the Word of God on a daily basis. And Satan will attack. But we will stay focused. We will stay focused on what God has called us to do, and we will not live in fear. We will not live in fear of what the government might do or when the end times are coming. We will not live in fear. We'll stay focused on exactly what God has called us to do, which is spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout our community and further. And we will stay put, and we will cultivate faithfulness, because greater is He who is in you and in me than he who is in this world. Will you join me?